Welcome to the brightest audience in the nation, to the Bob Benyart Live February Telethon. During our telethon this month, we're offering a free gift, Bob's video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, when you become a new subscriber to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month, and with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Benyart Live shows every month. By becoming a new subscriber to any of Bob's monthly products, making a new monthly donation of $20 or more, or a one-time donation of $50, you'll receive the video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, free of charge, special this month for the Bob Benyart Live February Telethon. Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am Doug McBurney, a mere pew warmer at Denver Bible Church. That's right. I just sit in the audience. It's great. You all should come down to Denver Bible Church any Sunday morning. We get started around 9:30. We have adult Sunday school, and we have fellowship around 10:30 till 11-ish, and then we have praise and worship, and we worship the Lord, and we sing praises to His name. And then we hear a great sermon from Bob Benyart. So come on down to Denver Bible Church. The location is top secret, so you'll have to go on the internet to denverbiblechurch.org and enter the secret code and do the secret handshake, and then you'll get the address, and you can come down and visit. You're all welcome. It's a great Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, at Denver Bible Church. That's denverbiblechurch.org. Come on down and visit, and you can even sit and warm a pew with me. It'd be all kinds of fun. All right, now it's telethon month, but I don't want to mention that yet because we're stalled out in the neighborhood of $11,000-$12,000, and I'm very disappointed in you people. But I'm not going to get into that right now. I may return to that issue later. But I want to start out with Rick Santorum because, the firestorm around his statement regarding Satan and the fact that Satan has his eyes and has his desires on destroying America, has set off a firestorm amongst people who barely even know who Satan is. And they think he's part of a fairy tale. And they don't necessarily believe he's true or real or that God's real or any of that. They don't buy any of that stuff. So hearing Rick Santorum address the fact of Satan, it just freaks people out. And I myself find it quite refreshing that a presidential candidate would talk about things that are beyond the mere physical. But Rick isn't just addressing Satan. I mean, we should all be concerned about Satan, frankly. And I think we should talk about him more. Yeah, I really do. And I think people in our government should be aware of Satan. And they should be a little bit more concerned about the influence, not that Satan has directly, but, you know, Satan has influenced people throughout the centuries, and those people have influenced the world. You know, like the communists and the Nazis and the Mongols and the Vandals and all the pagan religions of the north that collapsed the Roman Empire. I mean, Satan's been involved in all of that. You know, I don't think he's involved right now. I think he's out of the game right now. I think he's on the sidelines right now. But his minions, the people who he's influenced over the years and the ideas that he has promulgated, being the father of lies, as Rick Santorum so appropriately labeled him, that still has a tremendous influence, and it'd be nice if our political leaders had some degree of understanding about Satan, and more importantly about God. But with our politicians, we probably have to start with Satan, because you have to take people from where they are. But Rick Santorum had some interesting comments in Ohio earlier in the week about public schools, and he stole one of my lines which when people steal my lines, I love it. I'm extremely flattered when someone steals my lines because I always knew I was right. And when you hear someone else say what you said, then you know you were right. Or at least you feel better about it. And so here's what Rick Santorum said about public schools. And I'm surprised that this hasn't freaked people out more than the whole Satan routine. Rick said this Saturday past, he told a conservative Christian audience that he intended to homeschool his children in the White House. Shock. Now, the audience here, this Christian audience in Ohio, I'm sure they weren't shocked. This was the Ohio Christian Alliance, a number of them who probably homeschool their kids. But when this crossed the wire at the AP and Reuters, they have no idea. The president's going to homeschool his children in the White House? Oh, no, it's a return to Little House on the Prairie. What's happening to America? They just don't even know how to deal with that. So here's what he said. He said, Rick Santorum says, in the past, in America, most presidents homeschooled their children in the White House. Parents educated their children because it was their responsibility. Rick goes on. He says, the idea that the federal government should be running schools, frankly, much less that the state government should be running schools, is anachronistic, which sent all the AP reporters heading for their dictionary to try and figure out what anachronistic means. Multisyllabic, that's a big challenge because AP reporters and journalists in general are taught to communicate at a sixth grade level, and anachronistic certainly doesn't fit into their lexicon. I find this very interesting. Rick said that public schools, government schools, are an artifact of the Industrial Revolution. He says, quote, when people came off the farms where they did homeschool, or they had their little neighborhood schools, and they came off the farms into these big factories called public schools. And that's my line. I've been calling the public schools public school factories ever since I moved next door to a public school back in around 2000. I moved right next door to Stanley Lake High School, Westminster, Colorado. I moved into what I dubbed the smoking section of Stanley Lake High School. And I remember driving by that school the first time when we went to look at the house. And I didn't pay that much attention to this massive complex of structures to the east of my neighborhood. And I assumed it was a factory because it was so huge. And it turns out it was a government school, a high school, as a matter of fact. And so I've been calling public schools public school factories ever since then. And Mr. Santorum, obviously, we're on the same wavelength in several respects. Do I want to go on and say anything more? No. He used my line, and I quoted him, and that's where I'll stop with that story. Because like I say, folks, this election isn't so much about electing Rick Santorum, although I have endorsed Rick Santorum. I did vote for Rick Santorum. And has Bob thrown Santorum under the bus yet publicly on the air? Okay, well, I don't want to steal his thunder on that. Bob has expressed concerns that Mr. Santorum continues to tout his efforts in the Senate and in the Congress, his efforts to regulate the murder of innocent people. Bob has a problem with Rick not realizing that he should not now be looking back at his past and touting the fact that he supported the regulation of the murder of innocent people. And I wish somebody could get a memo to Rick. I mean, I know he's busy, but someone needs to get a memo to Rick to say, now that you've signed the personhood pledge, you can no longer be proud of having supported the regulation of the murder of innocent people. Now, it took me a while to come around on that. I mean, it took me, I don't know, probably 15 or 20 minutes of serious conversation to realize that I could no longer support any regulation of the murder of innocent people. It didn't fit with my new worldview of personhood. But maybe Rick hasn't got the memo. I doubt Rick has had a good 15 or 20 minutes. Oh, he has? Oh, he did. That's right. He attended two presidential personhood town halls. That's right. So he has had some time to think this over. Well, hopefully Rick will figure it all out, because it was the Enyart bump that pushed Santorum over the top in Colorado and toppled the Mitt Romney campaign. Mitt Romney stumbled over the Rocky Mountains. They're tall. You can trip over them if you're not paying attention. Ask Mitt Romney. So, I mean, if Rick wants to keep the wheels on, He doesn't want the Enyart faction, the personhood faction of the Republican Party, to have to throw him under the bus. But all that aside, ladies and gentlemen, what was I talking about before I got off on that? Oh, yeah, public school factories. I got a public school story here. This has been big news around the country. There's a Colorado high school over in Grand Junction, and they had their choir singing a Muslim song containing the lyrics, "There is no truth except Allah." Is that how it goes? Do we have any audio from the actual song? Anyway, it's a Muslim song praising Allah. And James Harper, a senior over at Grand Junction High, he said, "You know, I might be a geek, I might be in the choir, but I don't want to sing this song about Allah and him being the one true God and how I have to apologize if I've supported any other. And I think there's a line in there that all others will be destroyed by Allah." So, I mean, the kid, he might be a band-type geek, but he doesn't want to, you know, be lumped in with a bunch of Muslims blaspheming God. So he said, "I'm not going to sing this song." He said, "I don't feel it's appropriate for students at a public high school to be singing a Muslim worship song." That's what he told the news people over there. Just a note to Mr. Harper. It's really not appropriate for students to be in a public high school. You could just stop right there. It's completely irresponsible. And your parents should be embarrassed that it takes you being forced to sing praises to Allah before they realize they might have made the wrong choice in sending their kid to a public government school factory. But we have a quote here from the chorale leader. Yeah, the chorale leader. That's the government school official who runs the choir. This is what the government school guy says. The guy who handed out the lyric sheets for this song. What's it called? Faker? Zaker. Zicker. Zicker. How do you pronounce that? Z-I-K-R? Zicker? Anyway, I'm not an expert in this particular genre of music, so I'm just going to call it Faker. The chorale music leader says, "This is not a case where the school is endorsing or promoting any particular religion or other non-educational agenda. The song was chosen because its rhythms and other qualities would provide an opportunity to exhibit the musical talent and skills of the group. It's unfortunate that the student in Colorado misinterpreted the intention of the song." Oh, that was a Muslim commentator said that. That it's very unfortunate that he misinterpreted the intention of the song. Yeah, we have the audio. Ho! La 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 la. I couldn't understand a word of it. I don't know why the kid was offended. Yeah, that was actual audio, of a rehearsal backstage before the big chorale. Well, anyway, the punchline for the story is that this young man has now quit school after receiving death threats over his refusal to sing praises to Allah the Munificent. Munificent. Isn't that what they call him? I had never heard the term munificent before I became acquainted with Islam. Back in 1983, I believe, when the mighty warriors of Allah blew up the sleeping Marines in Lebanon. That was my first exposure to Islam. And from that day, I decided I want to join the United States Marine Corps. Yep. I wanted to go get me some revenge on the mighty warriors of Allah. Anyway, well, the kid has quit school. That's a step in the right direction. He's quit school. And hopefully his parents will take responsibility for his education and do the right thing and don't send him back to the public school factory. And they should be, they should be embarrassed about themselves. Oh, are you thinking about dialing? If you're thinking about calling in, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to take any calls unless you make a donation of at least $100. Our telethon total stands, I don't know, somewhere between $11,000 and $12,000. And folks, that's pretty sad. I mean, you need to step up. By the way, if you make a donation of $100 or more, you get a free copy autographed of We Won't Get Fooled Again by Greg Jackson and Steve Dace. And you'll also get the audio presentation, Having a Great Prayer Life, which will revolutionize your prayer life. It will help you understand what God wants to hear when you want to talk to him. And it'll help you understand why certain prayers don't get answered and why certain prayers, well, probably should never be uttered. It's a fantastic opportunity, easily worth $5,000. So if you make a donation of $5,000 or more, we'll send you two copies of the book, and we'll send you two DVDs, so that you can expose a friend to the great teaching available on Bob Enyart Live. You know that February is the shortest month of the year, and that's why we choose February as the month to promote the telethon to keep Bob Enyart Live on the internet for another year. We need to raise $30,000, folks. What's the date today? Today is the 23rd. We're coming up on the end of the month, folks. We haven't even cracked 12 grand. You got to help us out here, okay? Okay, so put your money where your heart is. Make an investment in something that really matters. Keeping Bob Enyart on the internet at KGOV.com for another year. You can go to KGOV.com and you can click on the store. And you don't have to just make a donation. You can buy some products that will have a significant impact on your life, the lives of your family, your children, your loved ones, and your friends. I want to encourage you to go to KGOV.com, make a donation, help us with the telethon, and help us keep Bob Enyart Live on the internet at KGOV.com for another year.
What is the gravest threat to today's black families? This is Ron Fox, pastor of Berean Bible Church, and I invite you to come out on Saturday, February 25th at 3 p.m. We will be showing a free, powerful documentary, Ma'afa 21. Berean Bible Church is located at 1400 Bird Street in Denver. For more information, give us a call at 303-329-0409.
So you heard it there first, folks. Well, not first. We've been playing this ad all week. But that's Pastor Ron Fox. He will be screening Ma'afa 21, exposing the conspiracy to destroy black people in America, from the foundations of Planned Parenthood to the modern child-killing industry. Ma'afa 21 is an amazing expose. It's going to be at Berean Bible Church on the 25th at 3 p.m. Call 303-329-0409. Speak with the good folks at Berean Bible Church. You might even catch Pastor Fox himself, who's definitely worth talking to, a very brave man, a man worthy of respect. Catch Ma'afa 21, the 25th at 3 p.m. Berean Bible Church. Give him a call, 303-329-0409. Critical. If you haven't seen that film, you absolutely need to see it. Now, we have other less important news. We've got Muslims in a rage because the U.S. military accidentally threw away and maybe burned some Korans. They seem to take particular offense at the burning of the Koran. Now, I've never seen a Bible burned. Has anyone here ever seen anybody burn a Bible? Now, if you were to see somebody burning a Bible, would your immediate instinct be to, like, hit him in the head with a large rock? Because that's not what I would do. I would walk up to the guy and say, man, you're really a mess. I mean, you need some help. Can we talk? Let's go get a cup of coffee, huh? Let's go have a beer. Let's sit down and talk. I mean, I wouldn't hit him in the head with a big rock. But the Muslims, I think, you know what it might be? It might be that they're a little bit insecure about their religion. I mean, if you flip out every time someone insults your religion, maybe you've got, like, insecurity problems. Now, me, I'm pretty confident in my God. The creator God, the living God, the judge of all the earth, and his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. I'm extremely confident. So if you burn his book, I kind of feel sorry for you. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to stand too close to you because you might get struck by lightning. I mean, I'm confident in my God. I know that if you don't get struck by lightning in this life, you're going to feel some heat in the next if you're out there burning the word of God. But I certainly would not hit you in the head with a rock. But apparently in Afghanistan, they're freaking out. They were outside the base the day before yesterday. They might be there as we speak if they haven't killed each other already. They say they're chanting anti-foreigner slogans and throwing stones. Yeah. Yeah. NATO is worried that this could be a public relations disaster because it exposes the fact that for 10 years we've invested immeasurable amounts of blood and treasure in Afghanistan and they still hate our guts. And they still hate God, and they still hate Christians, and they still produce opium, and they still oppress women. So some of us are sitting around thinking, what was this all about in Afghanistan? We haven't built a single church in Afghanistan. In fact, I think at last count, there were less than a half a dozen Christians left in the entire country. So what was this all about? It's very frustrating to me. We've got some quotes from some of the insecure Muslims there in Afghanistan. Here's a quote from Haji Shirin.
He says, we Afghans don't want these Christians and these infidels. They are enemies of our soil and our honor and our Quran.
We have another quote. This is from the Afghan Taliban. The Afghan Taliban has issued a statement through, I don't know, through who. Who does the Taliban issue statements through? Is that like Al Jazeera? They've probably got a hotline right through to the New York Times. They got a red phone there at the New York Times. Goes right to the Taliban. So the Afghan Taliban leadership says, I urge all Muslims to sacrifice themselves in order to pull out these troops from our soil. Since the invasion of Afghanistan by the animal Americans, this is almost the 10th time that they have degraded the holiest values of Muslims. I mean Muslims. Did I say Muslims? I didn't mean Muslims. I meant Muslims. Get out of here with that. Insecure, you know, babies crying and throwing rocks at people because they're burning your book. It's just ridiculous. All right. More bad news for Mitt Romney. This has been a great week for me because every day we witness the collapse of the Romney campaign. We've got a double-edged sword has been drawn against the Romney campaign by fate itself. Mitt's presidential ambitions, according to Fox News in Detroit, may meet their Waterloo in the Big Mitten. The Big Mitten? Has anyone ever heard Michigan referred to as the Big Mitten before? I thought maybe I was just out of the loop. I think this reporter just made that up. I never heard that before. But now that you mention it, I suppose it does look kind of like a big mitt. But Mitt may meet his Waterloo in Michigan. That's because Romney and his buddy have a mutual friend named John Rakolta. Yeah, John Rakolta is a prominent Detroit developer whose company recently won a $300 million contract to build the new Wayne County Jail. Rakolta is also Romney's co-national finance chairman, which means he's in charge of, you know, laundering money into the Romney campaign. Fox News reports that Romney's commanding lead in his boyhood state of Michigan has shriveled to a statistical tie with Rick Santorum's, and the feds are investigating a pattern of pay-to-play in the jail deal. That's the building of the Wayne County Jail. So a close buddy of Mitt Romney's is entangled in some local brouhaha scandal over the theft of hundreds of millions of dollars. So that doesn't help Mitt, right? I mean, the last thing you want is your friends involved in a scandal when you're trying to bamboozle the country into electing you. That's the last thing Mitt Romney wants to see happen. No, wait. That's the second to last thing Mitt Romney wants to see happen, because I've got the worst. I've got the one thing Mitt doesn't want to see happen. It's from the New York Daily News. An Arizona sheriff and Mitt Romney's Arizona campaign chairman has admitted that he had a relationship, a romantic relationship, with a man whom he identified as a former worker on his Republican campaign for Congress. Yeah. The sheriff's name, his last name is Babu. Babu? Can that be serious? Is that this guy's name? Yeah. It's a sheriff, Paul Babu. Well, he's apparently Mitt Romney's Arizona campaign chairman, and it turns out he's been involved in a romantic relationship with a man identified only as Jose. Jose. That's all I knew him as, was Jose. Like two ships passing in the night. Me and Jose. Now, Babu, the sheriff, says that Jose was a volunteer at his election campaign who controlled his Twitter and other social media accounts. Now, Babu is a sheriff down there. He's running. Let's see here. Is he running for Congress again? Well, he's a sheriff down there. He's big on border security. Mr. Babu is. I'm not going to say what I just thought about. I'll tell you guys afterwards, though. But I can't say it on the air. Babu's big on border security, and he wants to clamp down on immigration. He's running for Congress, but he has stepped down as the co-chairman of Mitt Romney's Arizona presidential campaign over embarrassment over him and his boyfriend. Now, Mitt Romney wants to distance himself, obviously, from there's some accusations here that the sheriff and Babu, I'm sorry, Babu is the sheriff. Babu and Jose had a bit of a falling out. And Jose is saying that Babu tried to use his authority as the sheriff to somehow intimidate his ex-boyfriend. Of course, the sheriff denies this, and Mitt Romney wants to distance himself from any hint of scandal, obviously, surrounding this whole unfortunate incident. But here we are, folks. Mitt Romney is trying to run as a conservative alternative to Barry Sotoro, also known as Barack Obama. And we find out that, up in Michigan, he's buddies with people who are involved in scandal. You know, that's kind of, you know, it's questionable because I don't know all the details. But Sheriff Babu, who's one of Mitt Romney's buddies, admits that he's a homosexual and that he's had a recent ugly breakup with Jose. And to me, this is just another example of why any real conservative should realize by now, if you haven't realized already, that Mitt Romney is not any alternative to Barack Obama. And that, the wheels came off the Romney campaign quite some time ago. And I've always been convinced he'd never be the president. Any more news? Rick Santorum has received a pro-life endorsement, it says here. A spokesman for the so-called pro-life organization Susan B. Anthony List has endorsed Rick Santorum. She says the leader, Marjorie Dannenfelser of Susan B. Anthony List, says, quote, "We're definitely at the tipping point in history on the pro-life issue," unquote. Well, Marge, how about tipping then? Because your organization, Susan B. Anthony List, refuses to acknowledge the full personhood of the unborn, and your organization has advanced legislation facilitating the killing of innocent people. And that's a pro-life group in America. We better be at a tipping point, Marge, because being pro-life don't mean today what it meant yesterday, Marge. Now pro-life means you're pro-life for every innocent person, not like the Susan B. Anthony List, who seems to be okay with killing some kids. And Mr. Santorum, I guess he has to accept their endorsement. I don't know if he can return someone's endorsement. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump says he'll jump in if Rick Santorum gets the nomination. I'm going to hold my fire on that because that'll be very juicy, and we'll come back to that in the weeks to come. Go to KGOV.com, support us in the telethon. Remember to do right and risk the consequences.
Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Real Science Friday. You can get great science materials from us, DVDs, debates, books, all from our website, kgov.com, or by calling us 1-800-8-ENYART. So here's a list of what you can get. DVDs from Illustra Media that we carry, The Privileged Planet, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, and Darwin's Dilemma. And then there are the two fabulous DVDs from Dr. Carl Werner on Evolution, the Grand Experiment, Living Fossils. You'll want to see those. And then Spike Passaris, formerly with the U.S. Military Space Program, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. And then there's the BEL debates, Bob Debates an Evolutionist, Dr. Eugenie Scott on DVD, and a book, Does God Exist?, Bob Enyart debates atheist Zaketh, a psychologist. We also have two DVDs on our seminar, Does God Exist?, and then Mount St. Helens, The Explosive Evidence for Catastrophe. We also have our debate on the age of the earth, where I got to debate a mathematician from CU up in Boulder and a geophysicist on this MP3 CD. And finally, my favorite science book, In the Beginning, by Dr. Walt Brown. Just call us at 800-8-ENYART, 800-836-9278, or check out our online store in the science department, either at kgov.com or realsciencefriday.com.